So the gospel these days bring us back to the beginning of the story. We have been hearing from St. Matthew's gospel, and now we're back to Luke. And so we kind of have to hold two things at the same time. Our Sunday Mass readings are coming from Luke as well, but we're close to the end of his public ministry. And now for daily Mass, we're back to the beginning of his public ministry. And if yesterday had not been the feast, if it had been a regular, ordinary day, we would have heard that great, beautiful passage of Jesus unrolling the scroll in the synagogue and preaching on the prophecy and then really condemning the men for not listening to the prophets. And their response to him was they tried to kill him, throw him over the hill. And now he's moving down from there to Capernaum, once again teaching. And what was their response? They were astonished at his words. They were amazed at his teaching. And this is one of the benefits that Mother Church gives us as we continue to go back to the beginning, to hear the words of Jesus, to see his life again and again, so that we don't become complacent, we don't become numb to them, that they can become new to us again and again, so that when we hear the word proclaimed, that we too can be astonished and amazed at the power of his word. What is there about his word, that people asked? Do we ask that question? When we, in our private prayer time, are reading the Gospels, when we sit in the church and we contemplate the Blessed Sacrament, or we pray with the crucifix, and we imagine this man, Jesus Christ, are we amazed? And do we ask, like, what is it about him? Who is this man? Do we allow ourselves to be brought back to the astonishment, to something new that Jesus is doing in our lives? The same reality that took place way back then is taking place now. This man possessed, taken hold of by the evil spirits, the very word of God setting him free. Only say the word and my soul shall be healed. We say those same words each day at Mass. Do we believe them? Do we say them with expectation? That this will come true with the amazement, with the something new that Jesus brings to our life. And as we continue to hear from St. Paul, as he's writing to the Corinthians, we remember that he's pretty much arguing, debating with the great philosophers of the time, the great men who had studied rhetoric, which was this ability to make arguments, almost like the great lawyers of our day who you could imagine arguing in court, making case after case, the great debates of the old days of politics, not today's nonsense, but the old days of political debates where true issues were debated. And whoever came up with the best argument, the best reasoning, would be declared the winner. This is the reality that St. Paul was facing. And time again, he says, I'm just a weak man. I've got nothing but Christ and him crucified. And today he gives us this clear example between the two men, the two people, the natural man and the spiritual man. And how the natural person cannot understand the things of the Spirit. They cannot, they are not astonished by the powerful word of God. I'm sure there's people in our lives, maybe our spouses or our children or our relatives or our family, other family members, other friends, who could care less about Jesus, who care less about the church. Their natural hearts are not moved by the powerful word of God. St. Paul says, we have the Spirit of God within us. Does that astonish us? Does that amaze us? That the very Spirit of the living God dwells inside of us if we remain in the state of grace. That the natural mind cannot comprehend the things of heaven. The natural person cannot judge us, meaning they don't understand. But through the grace of our baptism, by the power of the sacraments, the Spirit of the living God takes possession of our hearts and our minds and our souls, much like he did to the man in the gospel. I know who you are, the demon said. The demon knows who God is. Do we? Has the powerful word of God penetrated our hearts? Have we decided to rise above what's natural, what makes sense in a logical sense of the world, to allow the Spirit of the God, the mind of God, to be what drives us? When we don't operate in the spiritual world, we see what happens in the secular world. It's a battle for power, for who can be the loudest in their argument, who can be the most convincing, the most terrorizing, who can create the most amount of fear. And then people rule with a heavy hand, dropping down laws with a fear of retribution. We see it in the world, we see it in the church. The ones called to leave who don't have a spiritual life, trying to make things make sense on a natural level. We try to bring God down to our level, make everything just nice and natural and understandable to the common man. When the powerful word of God has the power to rise us, to raise us, to elevate us into that spiritual realm where things truly make sense, where things are in their proper order, where we can be amazed and astonished at what God is doing. Allow that to be your reality for you. To return to the beginning, to be amazed once again at what Jesus did and what he's doing in your life, in your family, in your home. Give him permission to call out and to cast out anything that is unclean, that's clinging to you or to your home. Cast it out. The amazing, powerful word of God. As you sit in church, as you attend Holy Mass, as you encounter the risen Lord in the Blessed Sacrament, allow your heart to be excited with amazement. We have the very Spirit of God living and dwelling in us. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to counsel him? St. Paul says, we have the mind of Christ. That's amazing.